This is 50 Years of Hip Hop. I'm Larry Mizell Jr. Before you listen to this special panel conversation, please take a listen back to Dusty's story from earlier in the week about scratching and Grand Wizard Theodore, because today I'm joined by some amazing DJs to talk about the art of scratching along with a special guest appearance from the man who invented it, Grand Wizard Theodore himself. But first, here's today's panelists.
Supreme LaRock, Sunday Soul, KEXP 90.3 FM.
Vitamin D, Street Sounds, baby.
DJ Lady Love, one of the first female hip-hop DJs in the room.
Dr. Dowdy Abe, historian, scholar, and author of Emerald Street, A History of Hip-Hop in Seattle.
Thank you, everybody, for being here as we talk about the birth of the scratch and Grand Wizard Theodore. Y'all might remember that, a Heineken commercial years ago? When they kind of like dramatized the birth of the scratch and had nothing to do with Theo. So it's obviously really important that these stories get told.
Oh, I didn't see that.
You didn't see that one?
Nah, I would have kicked the TV.
Yeah, I think the dude like spilled the beer.
Yeah, right, exactly.
On the turntable. Yeah. And he tried to wipe it off.
Try to wipe it off.
And it's
yeah,
right.
Oh, man, come right. On, man.
And obviously, it's a very different, very different story. The story of Theo's mom coming in and telling, you know, turn that noise down. And he pauses the record with his fingers. And he's like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. And, I mean, that's just a detail of what he'd done besides, you know, needle dropping and all sorts of stuff. So, Lady Love, just to zoom in on your experience from being aware of Theo bringing this innovation to the scene, how fast did, like, everybody pick up on it?
It was ridiculously fast. Like, all of a sudden, everybody in Queens was doing... The Bronx had did it first. We all know that.
Right.
But Queens was, like, second coming up, and everybody in Queens was doing it. And it was just, like, a phenomenon. I was, like, a junkie. I was going everywhere there. Somebody was playing, and somebody was doing something. I was leaving Queens to go to the Bronx to hang out by myself because I needed more. And it was just like overnight, it just seemed like, even though it wasn't overnight, but that's what it seemed like. That's what it felt like. Like it just blew up.
That's amazing considering that, you know, there was no internet.
Nope.
Everybody doesn't have everybody's phone numbers.
Yep.
These things had to be seen and heard when they happened. And it just caught like wildfire. And I assume a lot of the innovations, whether it was the cue system, the flash came up.
Oh, there he go.
Uh-oh, we got Theo on the line.
What's up, Grand Wiz?
Peace. What's up, Lady Love? What's good?
Nothing much. I'm here. You know what? They want to hear how you got started. How did you create the scratch?
My last year of junior high school, my principal was playing music in the lunchroom. So a friend of mine convinced my principal to let me make a cassette tape. Principal said, okay. So I went home, took my boombox, put it in front of the speaker, pressed record, and I started making my cassette tape for my last year of junior high school. Now, a cassette tape is 90 minutes. You got 45 minutes on each side. If you start making a cassette tape and you mess up, you got two choices. You're going to stop it or you're going to rewind it back to the beginning. I decided to keep going. So the music was really loud in the house. The music that we practiced on was in my mom's house. So the music was so loud in the house and to the point where my mom's had to come in the room and intervene and say, turn the music down or turn the music off. Now, those couple of seconds would seem like an eternity. I had one record playing and I was holding the other record. And when she told me to turn the music down, I did a baby scratch, turned the music down, mom's left the room, finished my cassette tape, rewound it back. And when it got to the point where my mom's came in the room, I could hear myself baby scratching. And I was like, wow, I can incorporate this into all the other things that I do as a DJ. Because if I want to be different from everybody else, if I want to be noticed and separate myself from everybody else, I'm going to have to do something different. So, you know, I practiced, you know, another couple of days, another couple of hours, and that's how I became the Scratch. I was 20 years old in 1975 when I created the Scratch.
Wow. Wow. Nice.
Hey, for people that don't know, what exactly is a baby scratch?
A baby scratch is when you take a certain part of the record and you hold it. You think of the record as if it's a clock. 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
So basically what I did was I took the record on my left-hand side and held it maybe 8 or 9 o'clock and caught one part of the record, and I started moving it back and forth and back. I might have moved the record to 10 or 11. I might have moved it back to like 7 or 8, and I'm moving it back and forth and back without taking my hand off the record and concentrating on that one sound that I like in a record, and that's a baby scratch.
Dope.
Hello, sir. I'm also in here. My name's Dowdy Abe. I'm a local scholar, I guess you could say. But my question is, what was the reaction when you first broke it out? How did people respond? Did they know what it was? How was that first experience when you broke it out to the public?
When we did a block party and people saw me, you know, scratching the record, you know, needle dropping and stuff like that, it basically just electrified the crowd because I was the only DJ that was doing it. So it was like, you hear your favorite record, but I'm actually scratching certain parts of the record on beat. So, you know, if people were hustling, people were dancing, people were b-boying and b-girling, and everybody went crazy, man. Everybody was like, you know, he got his own style, man. And the more time that went by, my style got better and better and better. It's 50 years later, you know, and I'm still here. But I'm only celebrating 48 years of hip-hop because I've only been doing it for 48 years. You know, people like Grandmaster Flash, my brother Mean Gene, you know, Breakout and Varian, Kool Herc, all those guys, they're probably celebrating 50 years, but I'm only celebrating 48 years because I've only been doing it, you know, for 48 years, you know?
Okay.
I mean, we're going to round up for you. For coming up with the scratch. That's worth that extra two for sure.
Yeah, man. We just gonna give you that off the top.
And truth be told, someone's celebrating 60 years. Mm, yeah. That's a whole nother conversation. But I have a question. I have a question for Theo about the needle drop. Okay. I wanted to know if you invented that as well, and did that come from you couldn't afford two copies of a record? So you was like, oh, I could just needle drop this break and extend it with one record.
That's a good question. I actually created the needle drop before I created the scratch. Now, how I created the needle drop, my mom's had a stereo that looks like a coffin. You got the television in the front, and when you lift up the door on the coffin and look inside, you got the A-track, you got the AM/FM stereo, and you got the little turntable there.
That bouncy, Junior.
Yeah. I used to play all 45s, and when the 45s got to the break part, I used to skip the needle back. You know, you got some records like James Brown, some of the breaks is at the beginning, some of the breaks is in the middle, some of the breaks is at the end of the record. So instead of me waiting for the break to, you know, to finish, I would pick the needle up and skip it back to the beginning of the break, not knowing that as time went by, I started counting, okay, what if I pick the needle up on a 2? What if I pick the needle up on a 4? What if I pick the needle up on a 5? And as time started going by, when I started picking the needle up, the record actually sounded like it was looping. You know, and the more mature I got, the more the needle drop got better and better because I used to spend like 2-3 hours just messing with a bunch of 45s.
Right.
Not knowing that I was developing a needle drop style.
Wow.
Nice.
That's crazy. Also, for all the listeners, check out Theo on YouTube. He's doing a blindfold needle drop at a BB King's, I think it is, and it's crazy.
Yo, blindfold?
I guess.
Yes, he does that. He does it blindfolded, or he takes the album and puts it in front of his face does like that. It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's
your crazy. Finger must be mad condition. Your finger.
Not only is DJ Graham Wizard Theodore the creator of the scratch, but he's also the creator of a style called needle dropping, and that's what he's doing right now. When you lift the needle off the record and drop it back down on beat. Needle dropping, the creator.
Theo, I want to thank you so much for when I called you, I'm like, Theo, I'm about to do this podcast and it's a tribute to you. You got to have Grand Wizard Theodore. So thank you when I called you. He was like, Lady Love, I got you. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Theo, for what you did for all of us here. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Real.
Yes, thank you.
It's gratitude and respect. Thank you.
Yeah, we all make our living off of what you pioneered, man. So, man, flowers, props, respect.
All day.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. Y'all enjoy the rest of the day, you know, and Lady Love, my sister. We'll talk soon, all right?
All right, Theo. I got you. Thank you.
All right. Peace, everybody.
Peace.
Lady Love, can I just say that you just elevated this panel with that call so much.
Yo.
Thank you for reaching out.
Yeah. No, not a problem. That's not incredible. A problem.
Woo! From the horse's mouth, baby.
Firsthand from the...
Yeah. First-hand history. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, I am one of the first female hip-hop DJs. I'm not the first. Baby D from the Mercedes Ladies is the first, but I'm second behind her. And Theo and all of them, they like our brothers because we were like the only female. I would be the only female with Flash and Theodore and them. I would be the only female on the card, on the flyer. So all these people I know and I got love for them. They got love for me. So whenever I reach out, can you do this? I'll be like, could you please? So it works well. But I just felt like he needed to be here with this tribute. He needed to hear this.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing him into the
Not
space.
Not a problem.
I got to ask, you know, lifelong DJs, fans, lovers of the culture, practitioners. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite scratch? What's your favorite type of scratch? What's the one that first like, ooh...
Man.
For me, it was the baby scratch.
Yeah.
For me, rhythm scratches.
Yeah.
Rhythm scratches over everything. And I feel like Cash Money was like one of the best ever to do that.
Right. No,
like Cash, he just calls it getting funky. He's getting funky with him.
You know who else is that? Johnny Juice.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Johnny Juice. That's my dude. Oh, Johnny okay. Juice made me cry.
Yeah.
Because he said my scratches wasn't nothing.
It was funny because like yesterday I seen some say, oh, I was blown away. It was Destroy because Chuck D was on and he said, oh, I was blown away to learn Terminator X didn't do any of the scratches.
No, it was Joe.
It was Johnny Juice.
That broke my heart, man.
Yeah, Johnny Juice.
I sat and watched Juice do patterns and stuff for doing that. And he's amazing. He could do so much stuff that he is so underrated and he is so humble that he doesn't push that was me. He does his thing.
Yeah, if you and know, that's you it. Know though, because right. nobody yeah. else ever cut
and
like
we
that.
Know.
Right.
We know.
Like, yeah. Right. Another one I'm gonna have to give props to is the breaking down of a word, scratch. I don't know what you call that, you know what I mean? But
right.
The first guy I really heard that did it real, real nice was Jazzy Jeff.
Me too. Yeah, I have to say that. Me too.
Like, nice, where you're like, ooh, right?
Lean, yeah.
Now, Peter, Piper, pick peppers, but run rock, rock, Humpty, Dumpty, fell down. That's his art. John, Jackie, nimble, what? Nimble. Anyone, quick, but jam. Mass mud, faster, Jacks or J's. My little Bo B, Cole, lost her cheek. And Rip Van Winkle fell a hell of sleep. And out of the club again, Wonderland.
From there, Premier just destroyed that whole thing, right?
And you keep the Premier thing going.
That was my favorite way of scratching, the way Premier could break down a phrase, bro. Like,
just make everything answer everything.
Man, I had the perfect scratch for every record and all that, man.
Yep. Just,
like, phenomenal, man.
The 10 crack commandments. One, two, three, four. Now, do you have any questions for our DJs or an estimable panel here?
I do. I'm curious, Lady Love, you're such a historic figure, not only in DJing, but specifically for female DJs.
Mm-hmm.
And hip-hop has always been very patriarchal. And I'm wondering what your experience has been like battling for respect. Is it a situation where, you know, how they talk about black people in the world have to be twice as good, you know, that kind of thing?
It's exactly like that. It's exactly like that. I had dudes that didn't want me to touch their turntables. I had to prove before I could even step in that I could play. It could be some guy on there that was whack, and they still wouldn't let me on there. And it was just a certain number of people, like the Disco Twins back then, the Infinity Machine, DJ Divine, they would let me play. And then other people would see that, okay, if the Twins let her play, then she must be good. If this one let her play, then she must be good. And it was hard. It was really hard. Me and Baby D, like, just being females in the game. And I even, at one point, I quit because I would go, everybody else would get paid, and I wasn't with a crew, I was by myself, so the promoters would be like, oh, we didn't make enough money tonight, I can't pay you. It was just always something, and it just got to be too much. So I walked away from all of that in 81. I started in 78, but I left by 81 because it had became so much. And women now, today, they're female DJs are everywhere. There's schools, there's all of this stuff. There wasn't any of that for us back in the day. It was nothing. We had to learn on our own. We had to figure out ways to get these guys to let us, to give us respect and everything. And even still, as far as the first generation female DJs, we still don't get the respect that we should. This is the 50th year of hip hop and everything. And everybody always wants to start with Coco Chanel and Spinderella, and you know, and I give them all their props, but we were there before them, but a lot of people don't even know that we existed. So in a way, it's still kind of, we still get that left out thing.
Well, I know we just all just gave Theo his flowers, deservedly so, but I just want to make sure that we give you yours, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank
as much
you very
of a trailblazer
much.
As he is.
Definitely. Yeah, you respect, are. Queen.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate that. Thank I you. Definitely appreciate that. Thank you.
Grateful that you're here and that you're here in the city.
Oh, I love it here.
That's what's up.
Supreme been showing me everywhere and everything.
The crazy thing, so I didn't even know about her. You know, I'm a hip-hop head, and I know my history, and I never heard of her. And I was listening to Hollywood's audiobook. And he was giving her big props. And I'm like, who is this? And I was like, wait a minute. then I found out she had moved out here, and so I was like, oh, I gotta hit her up. But she's the real deal.
I definitely,
you know, official tissue. She got all the OG flyers that with her picture and her names on them with everybody. So,
oh yeah, you sent me a flick, right?
Yeah,
yeah, that was ill too.
Yeah.
Continuing to think about the scratch specifically, is anybody this doing it, as a practitioner of it, right now that you're like, that's crazy? I've never heard nothing like that. Is there anybody on the scene like that?
Mel Starr. Yep. Mel Starr is a beast. He works with Jazzy Jeff too, but he is a beast. I saw him the first time about 10 years ago, and he was coming up, and I can't stop saying it. Mel Starr is a beast. So for me, it's Mel Starr.
Mel is definitely one of my faves. The crazy thing is, you know, I'll be scrolling through Instagram all day, and you just see random, unknown, no-name cats in their bedroom.
Right.
Murdering. They're
killing it, right?
Murdering.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you're like, who is this?
Right.
And you have no idea. It's just some random guy overseas.
Yeah, right? Man.
Yep.
Like, murdering.
Yeah. Yep. I'm about to say, man, I like Scratch Bastard too, man. And, I mean, but I don't know. Was he... Is he current, like, or is he old school? I can't figure that
he's
out.
He's middle school. That's middle my school. Man. That's my man. He's crazy, too. He's crazy.
Yeah. Got the sauce.
Also, Koku Shimakita in Japan.
Yeah. With them little girl twins that be cutting.
Mel Starr be working with them too.
Them little girl twins is hard, man.
Like,
yep.
They like some little girls, man. Oh, it's some twins, bro.
Yep.
They like ill.
Yep.
Crazy.
Worldwide. DJ Scratch, too, but he's old school.
He's old school.
For sure, yeah, for sure.
And it's just like Q-Bert is the best scratcher of all time, I would say.
Yeah, when you say we heard some that we've never heard before, right. It's Q-Bert.
Q-Bert, absolutely, like, all day. Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, it goes on and on, and it's going to continue going on and on, and
exactly.
Hear more innovations, and as the technology goes, we got more buttons to create more different
right
rhythms and scratch. And like, I was really hesitant to embrace the buttons as part of my sound a little bit.
Yes.
But, hey, man, if I can, you could do a premiere 5 scratch record on one wheel now while the beat is playing live. Mm-hmm. And make it seamless so it doesn't interrupt the flow of a party and you're really still, like, killing something right quick. And
yep.
The more you kill it, the more the crowd ain't even gonna notice it, man. It's just right. For them 5 or 6 DJs in the house, like, yeah, don't get it twisted. You know, I've been practicing.
Right. I love it. And just real quick, just for the listeners, when you say buttons and using that kind of technical innovation, what are you talking about?
So the DJ mixers, the first versions of them, didn't even have crossfaders, right?
Right.
And so...
didn't even have a cue.
Right, didn't have a cue. So with more innovation, like that's what's ill about Flash. This dude made the technology of that and the concept of the technology that we use, like, up from the dome. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
So, like, shout out to him. Also, you just can't not mention Flash.
Right.
You know, there wouldn't be a...
Right.
There wouldn't even be the mechanism to do what we're doing, like, without him.
So the technology caught up to him and what he invented.
And now it's a part of every mix.
Right. Yeah. And so then with the innovation, the crossfaders and cue points, you can get scratching at that point, right? Mm-hmm. And so now they got digital mixes where, you know, the sound's coming from your computer. And, you know, I was hesitant to embrace it at first. But, you know, after seeing guys coming through with the laptop and I'm breaking my back carrying crates up the stairs, man, I'm like, yo, I might need to get with it.
Exactly.
And then really, sure. I saw Jazzy Jeff kill it with Serato one time, and I was convinced that I was like, okay, that sounds like real DJing. Right. So once I figured out you can really sound like real DJing, hey, it's time to embrace it. And yeah. So,
for me, when I came back in 2010, and I didn't know anything about Serato because I played on vinyl when I left. So I was like, what is this? No, that's a computer. I'm not doing that. And then it was like, okay. And then eventually I thought about it. I'm like, who's going to be carrying these records for me? I ain't going to be doing that. And it just was so much easier. So I definitely embraced it. I'm a Rain fanatic right now.
And they stopped pressing the cuts up on wax, too. That's another factor, too.
Right.
Like, now there's been a new revolution where, man, you can get anything of vinyl now, dang there. Like, but
everything.
Right. Like, you can get somebody demo and everybody.
Right.
Like, it's crazy. But 15 years ago? When, like, Serato first started popping up, man, you're like, nah.
But I will say, like, so I stayed away. I remember the first dude I seen that had Serato, I went to his crib, and I hated it. I was like, that's corny.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to stay away from that as long as I can. And I did, but I started getting bookings. I started traveling a lot. And then at that point, airlines were charging extra for each record case. And then it weighed too much. So then that was another extra. Yeah. So I'm paying $100 extra per case.
Yeah.
And I had six cases. I'm like, the flight's $300, but the $600 to bring the records. I was like, I can't move like that.
Right.
So I remember I flew back from L.A., and I drove straight to Guitar Center, and man, it hurt my feelings. I did not want to do it, but I did it, and I felt, oh, I went to the dark side. But, you know, I love it and hate it, you know?
Yeah.
Right, right. I'm so glad, though, that I'm sure we can all agree that we came up from the vinyl age, mm-hmm. So I'm just glad that I got to live that, because there's a bunch of DJs that are never going to live.
Never.
The joy.
Oh, man.
Looking for the little black line.
I feel bad for them, you know?
Honestly. Like simple things like cueing you could see the break on the record, right? And kids just don't.
Right, they can't see it.
They were never.
Right now, they still couldn't see it.
Right.
They couldn't see it in the light with a flashlight.
The most fun I used to have was going digging. I would like my solitude. I would have my headphones on and I'd be in this record store for hours.
To this day.
Just going through everything they had. And I know Supreme.
Well, you see, he came to my 45 set last week.
Yes. He was going bananas in that 45
set. I was
going
to say, though, to me, there's nothing more fun than playing records.
Yeah, it's just fun.
It's just right. It brings the fun back to DJing.
It is.
That was my conversation with KEXP DJs Supreme LaRock and Vitamin D, along with DJ Lady Love and scholar Dr. Dowdy Abe. I'm Larry Mizell Jr., and this is 50 Years of Hip Hop. From listener-powered KEXP, where the music matters.